Time now to look through the window of baseball with Bruce Jenkins, brought to you by Marvin Windows and Doors and Truett & White, the professional builder's choice. Bruce, good to see you last night.
Yeah, it was good to be out the park. That was my first time out there, and as always, it's a real treat to see the perfectly groomed field and know that opening day is just coming around the corner.
Yeah, and you on Twitter, at your Twitter account today, you're talking about the special section that comes out tomorrow in the Chronicle, and I am a home delivery guy of the Chronicle, so I'm going to get it. But it sounds pretty good, the humor of baseball.
Yeah, it's not a separate section. It's actually just sort of wraps around the sports. But anyway, you can't miss it. There's a tremendous photo of Hunter Pence and Stephen Vogt on the cover of it. And the whole theme is humor in baseball. I went back and looked up, you know, some of the history of it. You know, Al Schacht and Max Patkin, the famous clown princes, obviously who's on first. And way back, Germany Schaefer was a guy who would do crazy things on the field, like he'd get to second and then steal first. Just, you know.
Right. The man who stole first, Germany Schaefer.
He stole first. He broke on the pitch and stole first, you know. And I came up with, I did a lot of research on the funniest lines by the likes of, you know, Bill Lee and Gary Giola and Stengel and Yogi. And most of those are in the online version. So if you're into that sort of thing, I think it's a great way to sort of get ready for the season. At sfchronicle.com tomorrow, that'll have the full version of all the funny lines that I researched and some classic nicknames over the years.
Oh, very good. I like it. Well, opening day, you know, it sort of crept up on me a little bit. You know, I kept thinking of, the Dodgers series, but heck, they're getting on the plane going to Milwaukee for three. And as we said last week, teams that are sort of at the bottom of the barrel, you don't like to get them early in the season because they don't know how bad they are yet. And they're going to go into Milwaukee, and they've got to have three games, and their three aces are going. And I think it'll be very instructive as to how they're going to play.
Yeah, I mean, right now the Brewers think they're great. They're going to win the division. You know, they're going to be in the postseason. Those aces are going to carry them and everything else. The reality will hit later, but right now you got a team that feels great about itself, which is the best way to feel. So, and, of course, the Giants do too, so that's going to be a lot of fun.
Arizona got a bad blow, and like the Pence blow of last year, A.J. Pollock out, fractured his elbow sliding in. Here, this is the story of baseball. Isn't it amazing that health is – you can do everything you want. You can bring in pitchers, catchers, any one thing you want, but you better stay healthy.
Yeah, I think back to last year with Miami, and they lose Stanton and Jose Fernandez. I mean, that's just – it's not that they were going to go to the playoffs probably, but these are two of the most watchable guys in the game. And you lose them, like you say, last year, you know, the Pence injuries were really damaging. And, maybe they'll be on the better side of it this year, but that's a bad omen for Arizona, I guess, for sure.
Well, Chris Owings is going to center field, and that's not good as far as I'm concerned.
No.
But Michael Bourne got released today. Maybe they'll be looking at Michael Bourne. You know, they sort of could look for a veteran. I don't know how long Pollock's going to be out as well. That was unclear. But I can't see Chris Owings being a long-term solution in center field. So we'll see how that plays out. But that's part of what we do. Looking at AT&T Park last night and the night before, it sure is nice to see a pitcher pitch there as opposed to Scottsdale Stadium, I'll tell you that.
Well, yeah, I think, you know, Samardzija was just in heaven. I mean, he's like, this is football weather all year round. It really is, until sometimes you get into September or October, it gets a little steamy out there. But never like, you know, St. Louis in August. Or Arizona, where it's pretty warm and the air is dry and the ball sails and the ball doesn't seem to sink as much. And it just, you know, that's really a radical change to go from there to San Francisco. And it's all good from the pitcher's standpoint. So that's a definite plus.
What do you think about Bochy buying into this pitcher hitting eighth and Pagan or Blanco, whoever, would be the outfielder at that point, in the ninth spot? And I said this to Bochy the other day. I said, you know something? You've managed, 3,000 games? I don't know, 4,000 games, whatever, in 30 years, and all of a sudden you figured this out? How did this happen?
Well, as recently as last year, he wasn't into it. I remember we were talking
really?
To Joe Madden about it. The Cubs were in town, and part of the Madden interview was that he's thought about it. He did it a couple of times. He had Addison Russell hitting ninth, and then you get back to the top. And, you know, Madden's a real inventive guy. And then we went over to Bochy. What do you think about that? He goes, well, I've never really embraced that. You know, I might try it someday, but right now, not really, even though he did have Bumgarner, obviously. But now, all of a sudden, he's looking at it more seriously. I seriously doubt he's going to do it with anybody other than Bumgarner. I think that's going to be the test, you know, to see how that works. Maybe right out of the gate. Who knows? But
yeah.
I don't see him. I don't see that becoming a regular feature of Bochy's lineup, where guys are, you know, the pitchers are hitting eighth and striking out, and maybe with a couple guys on, and it's two out, and there goes the rally.
You know, I was thinking about it today because obviously there's some analytic that has convinced him. Because, you know, baseball's figured all this stuff out for 120 years already, and all of a sudden this guy's doing it. And I said to myself, well, where do all the runs come? Basically, the top of the order, and then the big boys, right, the 4, 5, 6 guys, drive them in. Mm-hmm. And that's all the RBIs. How many, well, Crawford was an exception, but how many 7, 8 hitters lead the team in home runs or RBIs or stuff like that? So maybe the concept is get the guy hitting ninth, and then now you've got another hitter coming up before the big boys. And I think that's probably the analytical analysis of it.
Yeah, and you really need two really authentic sort of leadoff types in the 9 and 1 slots. And they have that if they bat Pagan ninth and come back up to span. So if the pitcher does fail in the eighth inning, all of a sudden you're coming up in the next inning with some catalysts, some guys that can start a rally, and you're back in business. And it's, you know, I hope he does it. I think it's fun to see new stuff.
Yeah, so I think the damage is done, really, by the 3, 4, 5 guys and maybe the 6 guy. So the 7, 8 guys are not going to do that much anyway, so why not put the pitcher in there and get the big rallies coming, starting with the number 9 guy getting on. So I thought about it. I said, all right, maybe that's the basis of it. But whatever, he's doing it. After, you know, all these years of managing, he did come up with it. So we'll see. I think he... You're right. It'll happen with Bumgarner. I think it may happen with Samardzija and one of the other guys,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, I think Samardzija would love it, too.
All right. How important a season is this for Brandon Belt going in? Bruce, I joked with him about if he ever goes in a slump, you know, obviously go down to Salt River Fields and just work it out down there. But how big a season is this for him?
Well, I think it's very big. He hasn't played a season yet in San Francisco, you know, where he didn't fall into at least one really extended slump where it was really kind of troubling. And, you know, he's had the concussion issues, just the full trust in your first baseman hasn't always been there consistently. And he's the kind of guy that can bring that and earn that trust. If he stays healthy, hits for power, and, you know, focuses on, if the shifts are there, focusing on opposite field hitting, he hits rockets to left center over his career. We've seen it time and again. Maybe drop a little bunt down there, and of course, he's a very good defensive first baseman. So I really think it's a year for him to play 150-plus games, you know, hit 20-something homers, beat the shift, and really be a dynamite part of the lineup.
Yeah, I think it's a big year for him. I agree with you. Give him 600 at-bats. And,
yeah.
You know, and let's see what he can do there, because at some point he wants big money.
Yeah.
And
well,
go ahead.
I was going to say he could hit 30 homers in a good year. We know he's got that kind of power. But yeah, the contract will be that's sort of floating around, you know, in the air as well. So
you never know where a season's going to go. Look at the Diamondbacks and all the injuries the Dodgers have had this spring. Is there a concern about the Giants as we start this season? How do you feel about the Giants?
I don't think there's any reason to be overly concerned right now, because you just have to forget everything that happened in spring training. And I mean literally forget about it. Absolutely, 100% gone, with the exception of, you know, the kids, what you saw from Arroyo or right. Mac Williamson, you know, guys that showed you enough that they can be on the club maybe as soon as this year later on. But in terms of the regulars, everybody's got a different way of approaching it. It is Arizona. And it's just when guys flip the switch for opening day, a lot of stuff comes to the fore, a lot of familiar stuff. I think the Giants have a great staff. I think they have a solid relief pitching. And I really like the lineup and all the things Bochy can do with it. I think they have the least concerns in the division, mm-hmm. really by far.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't have really there's nothing really troublesome about what's going on with the Giants for me.
Yeah, I think that's the issue. You know, in baseball, you could always improve. You know that. Someone will say, well, get me a different left fielder or this and that. But in the scheme of things of putting a team on the field, I think the only concern I would have really is Matt Cain, because he still hasn't shown. I don't care what the fifth starter does. I mean, you know, it's not, if that's the biggest issue you have, you're doing fine. But
yeah.
You still have to get out there and give the 5 innings and, you know, keep your team in the game. And I'd say today's an important start, and we'll see what happens. That's about the only one that's a question mark for me.
Yeah, one thing I was kind of worried about was Pagan and the way he felt about playing left field. as much as he, you know, took pride in playing center field and which in leading off, which is a real distinction in the big leagues, and he was great at it, and they won championships. And now he's out in left field, a little bit put out to pasture, but everything I've read and seen, he's into it. He's taken on the challenge. I think he realizes Span is a better defensive player and probably a better leadoff man at this stage of their lives. So he's engaged and smiling and enjoying life. So that's huge. But Kane, you're right. Kane is probably the number one thing because, I mean, nothing. Kane is so valuable to this team in the clubhouse. Mm-hmm. He's a real leader on this team and always has been. And for him to just be in the rotation, he doesn't have to be, Koufax out there. Just to be pitching a representative number five starter and hanging in there and maybe showing some improvement, you know, that keeps him in the clubhouse. And the guy, that'll be do a lot for the morale of the team, to say nothing of his own.
Yeah, I agree with that. All right, opening day. A favorite opening day moment for you? Any come to mind? We've been through so many together and of you on your own, me on my own as well. But anything come to mind for you?
Well, I know we have a lot of listeners who like to go back in time. We're not going to go far back as Germany Schaefer or even Solly Hemus. But, you know, when the Dodgers moved west and the Giants in 1958, the famous Seals Stadium opener where Ruben Gomez beat Drysdale 8-0. But I went down in L.A. then, and the Dodgers were playing their very first game at the Coliseum. And I was looking at Bill Rigney's lineup. He led off with Davenport, then Willie Kirkland, then Mays, and batting fourth, ahead of Cepeda, Daryl Spencer at shortstop.
Okay.
Daryl Spencer hitting between Mays and Cepeda. Hank Sauer was down there. He had two homers off Carl Erskine, and it was a great day. But Erskine did prevail. Erskine won that game for the Dodgers, so that made the team feel a little better after the series in San Francisco.
Well, for me, a couple. One, and I mentioned this to you last night, for some reason John Tamargo comes to mind. Didn't he hit a big home run there?
Yeah, he hit a bomb at Candlestick, yeah.
Right, I remember that. I'll never forget that. And then, of course, you know, being a kid and, you know, being at Ebbets Field for an opening day for me was a lot of fun. There's something magical about it. As I joke about in a new book and a new story, you never know where it's going to go. But I still think it should be a national holiday. I tell you, I think people should just take a day off and enjoy the beginning of this.
Yeah, I think it should always be in the daytime. I've always been disappointed in that the A's never opened in the daytime. The way it was for so many years, the season would open on a Monday or a Tuesday in Cincinnati during the day. Now the first pitch would be thrown during the day, and most, if not all, the teams played in the daytime. It's, after all, it's opening day.
Yeah.
And, having it open on Sunday night baseball, of course it's going to be totally engaging. It's the Mets and the Royals, for crying out loud. But just, you know, in a perfect world, I think it is a day game.
Yeah, and there are some games tomorrow. You know, I didn't realize. I thought it's one game on Sunday night. There's about three games tomorrow.
Yeah, I didn't realize that either. So,
yeah, so there's going to be some day games. Before I let you go, what do you think of the Warrior game last night?
Well, I didn't really see it. I mean, it was on in the press box, and, you know, I was trying to watch the game and do some other work, and I wasn't really writing. I'd already written about the Giants earlier in the day, and I heard the finish on the radio, saw a few highlights, but, I mean, it's kind of a dose of reality for these fans at Oracle. I mean, you're not going to win every single game, although after 54, you start to wonder. Are we just never going to lose at home?
Yeah.
I think it has some benefits. It's a bit of a wake-up call. I don't think it's anything to be alarmed at. It's assuming that Bogut gets through the day at his examination and he's healthy. You know, I think they're going to come out with a lot of fire the rest of the way, and I think they're still on a path to break or tie that record. But there was something, I don't know about refreshing, but, I mean, you know, you can't just have magic every single time, every single game, and it's just amazing how often they did have it, because you can't have it all the time, and they'll get it back for sure.
Yeah, I happened to watch the end of it, and I'll go off subject here of baseball for a second and let you go, but the Celtics can run. They can play with the Warriors. It was very interesting. I mean, usually you see a team and the Warriors just run them off the court when they have to. These guys could actually run with them. It was pretty interesting to watch it. I thought it was a lot of fun.
Yeah, and the Celtics defense was tremendous from what I saw. They were swarming around, and they were obviously fully motivated, you know, to like all the teams that play the Warriors. This was their night to shine, and they really did. They played the Warriors as tough on defense, you know, trying to clamp down on Curry and Klay Thompson as any team has. But, you know, remember that Curry did have a 21-point quarter.
Unbelievable.
Game, so.
Unbelievable. Really, I saw it. It was unbelievable.
Yeah.
The only thing about the Celtics, I couldn't recognize the uniform. I didn't know who they were. I thought they were the Green Hornet or something.
Why they would abandon their traditional uniform, especially after all that they've done, is a mystery to me.
All right. Great to talk to you. Have a good day, and I look forward to seeing you Thursday for opening day.
Yep, sounds great, Marty. Thanks a lot.
Thanks, Bruce, as always. All right, more coming up, KMBR 680, the sports leader.